springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Garnishing your ham with pineapple? Pair it with a delicious Chardonnay to make their taste buds swirl.
Deviled eggs are even better when paired with a light, dry wine like a bubbly Prosecco or a Pinot Grigio.
For me, nothing beats recommending a great wine. And with such an extensive selection, I can help you find the perfect one in your budget.
Whether you're hosting or just bringing the wine, we love to share our always low prices and ridiculous selection. This spring at Total Wine & More. Cheers.
Yeah, what's up, y'all? What's going on, brother?
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hang, Sangria, this your boy, N-O-R-E.
He's a Miami hip-hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN?
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players in music and sports.
You know what I mean?
The most professional, unprofessional podcast and your number one source for drunk facts.
This is Drinks Champ Radio, where every day is New Year's Eve.
Let's go!
What's going on, Drink Champs Army? If you've been checking out our recent episodes, you'll know we're in a transition period between our deals. We have a lot of exciting things in the works in regards to Drink Champs, as well as individually, Nori and myself. We will be announcing the new season of Drink Champs real soon with premiere date and time, and once that starts, we'll be falling back into a regular release schedule. In the meantime, we've been wanting to release some type of content as to not be completely quiet during this transitional period. So with that being said, check out this episode I did with Nori pre-Drink Champs for my OG radio show, which is now a mix show with my homie DJ K&S on Dash Radio every Thursday nights. Some of y'all might have heard me and Nori doing Militem and Crazy Raw Radio on Sirius XM years ago. Here's another pre-Drink Champs EFN and Nori just shooting the shit. So let's get into this throwback of me and Nori doing what we do. Let's go.
DJ EFN. Crazy Hood Productions. Putting it down. Straight like that. Who's crazy? DJ EFN. Crazy Hood Productions. Putting it down. Straight like that. Who's crazy?
What up, what up? It's OG Radio every Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Dash Radio, on Native Rhymes, powered by 90shiphop.com. I am DJ EFN. We got DJ K&S. We got Weird Thoughts in the fucking dungeon. Yeah, Weird Thoughts, what up?
Yo, what up, Icky Hood?
And we got a special guest, man. We taking it back.
Who's that in the back? Icky Wood?
Oh, that's Icky Hood.
Icky Hood. Go ahead. Icky Hood.
Icky Hood.
Wait, you're
not supposed to talk yet.
Okay, my bad.
Icky Hood.
What up?
You talking?
Yeah, I'm here. I want to give a shout out to Black Alags, K&S, EFN. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your time, buddy. All right, we got a special guest. Wait, but we taking this back, and we're supposed to go future right now. Okay. Militainment Crazy. Militainment Crazy Hood, man. Well, no, Militainment Crazy Raw was the name of our show.
Serious? Militainment Crazy World Radio?
Yeah, that's what it was. Crazy that's World what it was. Radio. Yeah. And he's in the motherfucking
that's
building.
Right, that's right. Yay! Yo, listen. Y'all blown up. You got voices coming from out the walls.
in the dungeon.
No, man, they got walls here. They describing it as a dungeon, but it's beautiful in here. I feel like taking my shoes off for no reason. I got on new socks. It feels great, man. Congratulations, E.
Thank you.
Man, you've been doing a lot of things, man. I want to congratulate you on coming home, Cuba.
Thank you very much.
That was the first one that locked me into the trilogy.
Yes, sir.
Then Peru.
Yes, sir.
Peru, I felt like you was getting your Anthony Bourdain on a lot.
You was trying to
capture a lot of the Discovery Channel things.
He
was drinking the drinks. Then coming home, Haiti, I was scared of you. Even though y'all made it back home safe, I was still asking y'all, like, y'all all right?
Are we back?
Like, y'all all right? Did y'all make it? Like, nigga, we're home already. But so I appreciate what you're doing, man.
Thank you, brother.
It's dope. It's moving the culture forward because I'm tell you, to be honest with you, drop the music for a second, K&S.
K&S always has a music left.
I would never go anywhere just for hip hop. Like, that let me know. Like, I just seen Stretch and Bobbito's movie, right?
Oh, I can't wait to see that.
What's the name of it?
It's Stretch and Bobbito's movie,
I guess. I don't know. Right? But it was dope. And a part of there, Stretch said he just fell out of love with hip hop, right?
I fell in and out of love with hip hop.
No, I'm so out of love with hip-hop right now.
I'm in and out all the time.
You don't understand. I'm so out of love.
But you know, when I travel...
I hate that bitch
When I travel to these countries...
Salud, this is my first
drink. I fall back in love.
From deep. What you said?
When I travel to these countries, I fall in love with hip-hop again.
When you make these trips and discover hip-hop out there, that moment...
I don't think I discover hip-hop. I think that
I know the hip-hop
is clear. Let's be clear. You're discovering hip-hop. Because you are the Christopher Columbus of hip-hop. What I mean by that is we don't know that there's a hip-hop scene in Vietnam.
Right.
So what you're going to do...
Which is the next film that we're doing.
Did I blow that up?
No.
All right. So my thing is that's remarkable because I don't know that about Vietnam. I didn't know that about Peru. I didn't know that about Cuba, most certainly. And I knew you was going to find something in Haiti. I just
right.
didn't
but
know.
But you wasn't sure what.
I didn't know what. I just was praying for y'all. Like, right. You know what I'm saying? So now this is God honest. Like, y'all going to Vietnam is like something that I learned. Like, the reason why I watched the Discovery Channel and I watched the Travel Channel is because I actually learned shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you learn things. I remember my first time ever going to Germany. I ate bratwurst. I don't know what that shit is, right?
But that sounds horrible.
It was horrible, right? So I never ate in Germany again. Like, when I went there, I used to eat McDonald's, but I skipped out on so much culture by doing that.
Like, when we went to Russia, I wanted to eat Russian food, and you told me...
But we ate Indian food in Russia. I ate Indian food.
I don't think you ate the food.
French fries. It was fresh with Indian French fries.
French fries does not mean Indian food.
Doesn't matter.
And when I told you I wanted to eat Russian food, you were like, you don't know about traveling around the country.
This is very true.
Not eat that shit.
And we had pizza.
The pizza was horrible.
The pizza was horrible. I do remember the pizza.
It was like cardboard. And you didn't want to take pictures with the guys with the ski masks.
They gave me smoke, right? And they brought me a bottle. Do you remember this? They brought me a bottle with fucking a gum wrapper. So I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this? They put the weed in the thing and they burnt the shit. And I had to smoke.
It looked like you were smoking crack.
Like I was smoking. I'm so glad Instagram wasn't back then because E would have been like having a ball. Look at my nigga. What are you talking about?
I took math pictures. I didn't take a picture of that.
Oh, that
I'm not
that,
a foul, dude,
oh,
man.
That was terrible. And I actually smoked it. It was the worst weed. But getting back to... Yeah, it was the worst weed. Getting back, like, I'm actually... This is something historic in time. Eventually, this is going to be its own entity. Like, there's going to be people from Colombia that's going to be offended and say, you know, Bogota, we got, you know, Little Compton out here.
Right, which they all do, for sure.
And in Madrid, Spain, they're going to say, you know what I mean? You know Latin hip-hop is real big over there.
Huge.
And so forth and so forth. So eventually, it's going to turn into a monster that's going to really... You know, operate on his own. You know what I'm saying? So right. I'm just proud of y'all, man.
Thank you, man. Definitely. And I mean, when we've been talking to Carlitos, and we're going to Puerto Rico. We need to all go.
I kind of did my block Puerto Rico.
I know you did, but we want to do it differently.
It would have to be differently because, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I want to go into, this is my vision for Puerto Rico. Obviously, we're going to do the regular.
Go ahead. Let me let
you finish. I want to go into El Campo. Into the countryside, and see what are they doing in terms of hip hop in the countryside? Because we're gonna go in the hood for sure.
But the thing about it, I think what you're missing is there's a whole Latin hip hop scene in Puerto Rico, like Americano, who passed away. Let's say rest in peace to him. Tempo was really Latin hip hop.
Yeah, I knew Tempo.
They don't really represent
before
reggaeton.
He got locked up. I met him.
And some of them are offended that you put them in that reggaeton.
No, they don't want to be in the reggaeton. And we're not going to...
Because it's
not,
like calling a hip-hop artist R&B.
Exactly. And that's exactly when we do our film, it's not going to be nothing reggaeton. When I went to Puerto Rico for the first time, before reggaeton blew up, I met Tempo, Buda Family, all those guys. You know, and these guys were adamant that they were Latin hip-hop.
Yeah, hip-hop.
Straight up. You know what I'm saying? Lyrics, everything.
Right. And see, that's the part that... I think if you do go to Puerto Rico that you can capture, because the thing about Puerto Rico is it's Spanish people New York. What I mean by that is they shot all over this island. They filmed all, like, I see hip hop artists go film a video in Puerto Rico and think they're doing something crazy. Right. And I'm looking like, dude, you're in Vega Baja. You know what I'm saying? You're in places that's been done in the reggaeton side. But now here's the thing that would be interested in Puerto Rico if you go for the Latin hip hop scene and you see, you know, the Tempos and
the culture, the B-boys, the turntable.
Yes.
Remember, the first time I went to Puerto Rico, I was brought out there by a breakdancing crew called Time Machine Squad, and they gave me an award.
Award? What's that?
An award. They gave me an award.
I was like, what's an award?
No. They gave me an award. Yo, the first award that DJ EFN ever got in his life was given by Puerto Ricans.
Goddamn, let's make some noise for the Puerto Ricans.
Yo. No, real talk, man. They gave me, and I was fouled because I got drunk off a caña, and I was trying to holler at one of the homies' sisters, and I was nowhere to be found when they were presenting the award to me. They're like, EFN? EFN? EFN is not here right now.
This is a terrible story.
But shout out to Time Machine Squad.
Terrible story, but I get it. I get it, man. I mean, yeah, that's just what it is. It's like, I just think that what you're doing now, like with the, like Vietnam, like see, Puerto Rico, I would be like, all right, cool. It's, but, you know, you could go to Loiza and you could show the black Puerto Ricans. I mean, that's something that you have to actually be Puerto Rican or travel this island to know that there's actually blacker Puerto Ricans than me. Like, I'm actually considered light-skinned to some of them. Like, when I went to Thago's hood, that's what actually gave me, like, more respect for Thago was like, you know, oh, okay, he's actually from a hood that they actually claimed that they were slaves.
No, that, you know, there was a huge slave trade in the ports in Puerto Rico, like in Cuba. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So definitely there's a large African community there.
And yeah, and that's the Puerto thing about Rican Cubans. Slaves. There was Puerto Rican slaves. If you look at La Pella, that was like a fort for them to fight off the slave ships.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get deep in shit, like, cause this is history I do know.
I like this, all that history.
So again, if you show that part of Puerto Rico, that's something that as a fan I'm interested in. You know what
and
I'm
that's
saying?
That's what I would want to show.
Because if you go and just, you know, follow Don Omar around, I don't want to know that shit.
And I wouldn't do that. What I'm saying?
I know that. But I'm just giving examples
first of
to
all,
people.
You are going with us.
I would like
your
to.
Your cousin's going with us.
He definitely got to go.
No, you're definitely, listen, you definitely are going with us.
I'll go to the compo, definitely.
No, you're going
I got an aunt in the compo. She has goats, pigs, her own cats. She breeds, like, she don't go to the grocery store for shit.
Do they wrap the goats and the cats?
We're going to find that out.
But you need to go to another country with us.
You know what I would like to do? I would like to do Europe. You know what I'm saying? Because
but we need to go to a European country that's not usually spoken about in terms of hip-hop.
I mean, one of the dopest places.
Slovenia.
I was going to say Dusseldorf, because that's one of the dopest names
ever. I don't
ever.
Even know that it's what that country is.
Dusseldorf.
Oh, it's a city in Germany.
Right.
Dubai is... I want to go to Dubai.
I'm supposed to go to Dubai the first or second week of November. But
I want to go.
And now, let me tell you why Dubai. Now, you go to Dubai. Now, you're not going to find your average MC, because these MCs, if they're talking about Lamborghinis,
they got 10 of them.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
they trying to get us to go to Kuwait. I got some people trying to get us to go to Kuwait.
I wouldn't do Kuwait now. I'm going to be honest with you. But I literally seen Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie walking around with no security. And I thought about it. I was like, what the fuck they need security for? Most of the people that's on this block probably got more money than them. So to me, if you find hip-hop in Dubai, it'll be interesting, because it probably wouldn't be real hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Because
real hip-hop
comes to struggle. That's what makes hip-hop hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have a type
it's
of
from
struggle.
From the bottom.
Right, right. So.
No homage to Drake on that one, but it is.
Okay. All right. I didn't see the shot. Well, you threw a shot at him?
No shot. I'm saying no shot.
Like, what am I into right now?
It's starting from the bottom. Right, yeah, not necessarily a Drake
reference. Okay. I get it. Did you see the Fredro battle?
We were talking about that in the last show. Last week's show,
okay.
Yes.
So what happened?
Yo, I didn't see it, but I heard that Keith Murray was destroyed by Fredro.
Uh-huh.
Is that true?
I felt like you wasn't finished your question. Was you fully finished your question just now?
That was my question.
Okay.
Is it true?
I have yet
to see it from last week.
So
you heard
that Keith Murray was destroyed by Fredro?
I heard that Keith Murray was a mess. And not to mention that I'm a huge fan of Keith Murray. He's on my album Another Time.
I am too.
Shameless plug.
But to answer your question, Keith Murray actually destroyed himself. You know what I'm saying?
By way of cannabis, remember Cannabis Battle? That battle that Cannabis pulled
like
out
that.
The pad?
Cannabis pulled out the pad. That was a train wreck. I always thought Cannabis could have killed that if he pulled out the pad and there was nothing there. Like, if he
would have been
I always
super
thought that.
Dumb.
I always thought
Damn,
that was like,
good
like
one,
I always
good
thought,
one.
Like, why didn't he do it? Because, you know, that's blasphemous in battle rap.
Right.
But I think that Keith is a phenomenal dude. I was on tour with Keith Murray, man, and I just think there's sober people. There's people that I like sober, more sober than I like drunk or high.
There might be a lot of people, though.
But there's some people I prefer drunk or high. You know what I mean? And
I don't even want to ask you what you prefer me to do, drunk or sober.
Oh, you know I prefer you drunk. God damn it. Come on. I see you challenge Pitbull in the fucking... and Athana Sana. You was like, I'll fuck you up. I'm like, this nigga AFM want to fight Pitbull. I've never even heard Pitbull speak a gangster lyric. So, but, you know, it was dope. But, so I'll actually like you. I like you more drunk. You know, you're more of a fun guy. When you're sober, you're too sober. Because
okay.
you're extremist, in case you don't know it. But that's why we get along and don't get along, because we're both full extremists.
Okay.
But
I take
Keith, he was high.
He was high or drunk?
Listen, man, he says he was drunk.
Intergalactically
he
out
said
there.
He was drunk, but like I've dated chicks that
are high on something else.
PCP. I've dated chicks that smoke PCP. That was PCP, my brother.
Yo, Keith.
Not trying to diss him.
No.
He's a phenomenal.
You trying to diss him?
He was out there.
Not
but
trying to diss him.
Not trying to
cameras
diss him.
You can't. See, caught. PCP is not a drug you can control. All right?
We all know he's been on something in the past.
That's dust, man. It's PCP, man.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. There's nothing else. He did an apology. As a fan, I accepted it. And he said he was on some meds and alcohol. I get that. That's not what that was, though. Keith is my man. I don't want to take anything from him. But that was a horrible look.
Damn.
It was.
I haven't seen it yet, and I'm mad foul right now.
I kind of feel like it's his crew fault more than it's his own fault.
I said the same shit.
Because if you drunk as hell, I'm not letting you DJ, B.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You coming out, I mean, KNS is going to ghost DJ for you, okay?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We'll be still on the mic saying DJ EFN and all this crazy shit.
Right.
But it'll be him that whole time, because as a friend, I have to protect my interests.
Right.
And I have to protect, you know what I'm saying, what I'm invested in.
Or your friend. Just protect your
if
friend.
You're around me, you benefit from me some way.
Right.
What I mean by that is, if you're around me, you either met somebody through me, you met a chick through me, it's something. Same vice versa with you. We have it's a certain light you have. So when you're the star of the show, you have to protect that light.
Right.
And you have to have somebody there that's an EFN that's going to say, you're fucking fucked up. Or that's an Ali that's going to say, motherfucker,
Ali would
you're
definitely
fucked
say it.
Up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And when you don't have that, you tend to be your own boss and you tend to make your own worst decisions. So that's where it comes where people can't have yes mans and people, because it could have actually, this event, Keith's rhymes was hot. Like when Keith's rhymes was hot. Like when he was saying right.
But he had written them though. And that's what
everybody was supposed to write it. It was a written battle. But
okay.
It's you can have the dopest shit, but if you don't deliver it the right way, like
I heard he kept fucking up and asking to go back.
He was bringing back the beat.
You like, can't do that. You can't. Do
so
that.
It's just at the end of the day, I think he would have delivered a better battle. I think he would have delivered better quality, better performance, and just a better Keith Murray and a better individual had he did it sober. Would anybody want to pay to see it again? I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Well, how did people see this again?
Well, it was on pay-per-view.
Ah, okay. All right, well, let's hold some things. We're going to get into a mix right now with DJ K. And this is OG Radio.
Yep.
This is DJ EFN, N-O-R-E. We got Weird Thoughts in the Dungeon. Let's go, K&S. OG Radio, Dash Radio, Native Rhymes, 96Vibe.com. Let's go.
Wakata.
Yeah, we back. OG Radio, a.k.a. tonight, it's Militant and Crazy Raw Radio.
Yes, sir.
And it's DJ EFN.
Yes, sir.
We got, who's in the dungeon right now?
Weird Thoughts, a.k.a. Icky.
DJ K&S on the ones and twos special guest, but actually not a special guest because this is supposed to be our show right now.
Yeah, man.
Always and forever.
Let's do
N-O-R-E,
it.
Noriega.
We'll eventually do it.
We need to do it. Drink Champ Radio, actually.
It feels natural right now.
Drink Champ Radio.
And off air, I'll tell you, I got, I don't want to blow it up.
Is it off air or on air right now that you're telling me this?
Well, I got a show containing that I just got financing
for. The Drink
for.
Champs?
Well, I don't want to say it, but it's something pertaining to that. I just got financing for it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not on paper yet, but big up to Matador. Those are the guys that are behind Fat Jew. They also produce Lip Sync Battle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so
that's crazy.
Yeah, LA was nice, man. It was nice.
I was actually very jealous of your LA pictures.
You always come with me to LA too, right?
Yo, the last time.
The last time with MERS, right?
No, no, but I mean, we went.
The last time with
when
MERS,
you performed at MERS. At MERS's show.
Okay, right.
But we had a fucking blast.
Super blast.
We crashed the fucking wedding.
Yeah. Oh, damn, we did?
Yeah, we crashed the wedding.
Oh,
man.
Oh, yeah, at the
wedding
W.
crashes, yeah. I mean, we didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah, that's our
It just happened to be that we crashed the wedding.
Yo, you know, unfortunately, I got married twice. This is my second marriage. Oh, right?
I'm about to say, what?
Well, I remember it was out here Memorial Day weekend one year, right. And I brought 80 people. And this guy was getting married at the hotel.
It's not the time with the tour bus that I had to deal with you guys.
Yes, this is that time,
and
right?
I had to bail people out.
So
of jail.
these people are getting married. I felt so sorry for them, and I got 80 dudes. I couldn't control 80 dudes. They coming down. Here comes the bride. Niggas is like, yo, what's up, shorty? They trying to But see, I brung people on purpose that trip. I brung people on purpose that trip with no manners. You know what I mean? And I didn't realize how bad that was till I actually paid for my first wedding. And I was like, I would have killed these
you
motherfuckers.
You felt mad guilty.
I feel like I got to meet this couple and send them to Bahamas or something. I got to pay them back.
All right, so let's get into some things. I actually want to get into let's pretend
let's,
that nobody
let's get into some deep shit. I don't
nah,
give
some
a
deep
fuck.
Shit. Some deep
let's
shit.
Go.
Let's
Come
let's
on.
Pretend that nobody knows anything about you at all. Mm-hmm. That's what we're pretending right now.
Yep. I don't want to tell them shit.
No, you're gonna tell them something, guy. That's what the point of the fucking show.
Nah, that's for a new artist, man. I'm sorry, man. If you know,
come on, guy.
Listen, I'm gonna tell you something. I'm a stubborn artist.
No.
Let me break it down. This is exactly how I could describe myself. For the person who does not know who NRE is, does not know who Capone Noriega is, does not know who Noriega is, I've done so much work that I don't even want to tell you I'm an OG. I don't even want to tell you I'm
a
legend.
No, we're not going to talk about that kind of shit.
But this is what I want to talk about. So look, let me just break it down because you said describe myself to people. I'm a stubborn old man, right? I'm 38 years old, but I've done so much work that it's hard for me to explain who I am. Like, if I walk into a club and a person don't know who I am, I don't say I'm no. You know what I got?
That's
you know
problem.
What I do? Let me tell you something. I got a this is another reality show I got. Another show. It's called Airport Bars. You know why? Ooh. I meet the weirdest people in the fucking airports. and most of the time, I come in, I got on a chain, I got on a nice watch, and people ask me, so what do you do? Are you a rapper? And I say, nah, I make headphones for iPhone, motherfucker. I always make up a job because that is what they see
they
when
stereotype
they see me.
You.
You're a football player. You're a basketball player. You suck. Like, no. Nigga.
But you know Sonny would be a rapper. He'll be a football player.
See, that's different. That's different. Yes. Yes. Sonny is
that's our homie, by the way. Sonny.
He's our homie, our but homie. He's a little bit of an imitator. It's okay. It's okay.
He imitates till he gets to that place.
It's okay. Listen, Alice, I tell people all the time.
All right, but that's not what I don't want to go into that world.
I tell people all the time, listen, you're not a pimp if you pay for the bitch's flights to come see you.
Never a pimp.
And then you
point.
Pay for your flight to go see them.
No.
You are being pimped.
Did you tell Sonny that?
Yeah, that's plenty of times.
Okay, I just want to make sure you told Sonny that.
Let's get over to
and
Sonny.
Then did you tell Eddie that?
Eddie's a different type of breed. Eddie, let me just tell you something. Eddie can make
Eddie's
me,
our homie, by the way.
Eddie can make me feel sorry for him, but he just puts on a groupie, not a groupie, a loopy face, like Snoopy face. He just does one of these.
He give you
like,
the
I leave
the
him
sad
alone.
Eyes,
I don't even
eyes.
Give him the right advice. I just
you've always steered him wrong.
Yeah,
man.
He's
you've
my guy.
Steered
I like
him wrong.
I got love for Eddie.
I've always
man.
Been the bad guy, and you've always been the good guy.
I've always been the good guy. That's a fact. And I think I've always been the good guy to Sonny, and you've always been the bad
always
guy.
Always the
that
bad
fair?
Guy. Always.
All right, Salud.
Always.
God damn it. Salud, God damn it.
But we're
and
all,
we both got drink
but
with
I
water.
Think we're always on the same side.
This can tell that we're professionals.
We are 100% professional. Somebody take a picture of the water and the red cup.
It's just his water is a lot more expensive than mine's.
No.
I seen this guy in L.A. at Beats. Beats, you know, Beats is actually picking up original content right now. What
like?
They're doing is
not
what
visual.
Apple, yeah.
Visual?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fucked me up.
Let me talk.
Apple TV now is going to actually come out with an Apple TV,
Meaning, like Netflix shit.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh.
So, what like my Haitian friends would say, oh.
So what they're doing now is picking up original content. Yes. So I had a meeting.
I like this. I like where this is going.
Because in 5 years, EFN, there won't be a record label.
There now, won't be a TV station
I might be calling this short. It might be 10 years. It might be 2 years. It might be three. But the phenomenal thing that people didn't realize what Dr. Dre did with that Compton album was when I woke up and they said that it was live stream, it was already downloaded to my phone. All I had to do was press buy.
Yep.
The stream was already. So essentially, this is the new Tower Records.
100%.
Like, I hear people saying the Mark of the Beast. This is the Mark of the Beast.
We've been had it.
Try to go an hour without your phone right now. You can't do it.
You feel like you're lost.
I'm telling you, try to go an hour. Try to go try to take a shit.
You can't even take a shit without your phone. He can't go an hour without watching porn on his phone.
Yeah, whatever, nigga. Anyways,
I was porned out for like 2 months.
Listen, I don't.
Why you got a whatever, nigga? Me?
I don't know nobody's phone number, so if I don't have my phone, I'm fucked.
Listen, 100%. You know how I know my wife's number? I go to W, and my wife pulls up. I don't know her shit by heart. I don't know my mother's number by heart.
No, it's true. I don't know anybody's fucking number.
I know my grandmother's number by heart because she had the same number.
Why do I know Eddie's number by heart?
Because Eddie had the same number. Eddie got an Akinelli number. Akinelli had the same number since I was in seventh grade.
Jesus Christ, man.
So Akinelli, you shouldn't forget his number. He got the same fucking number since seventh grade. You know what I mean? So technology is making us dumb. Have you ever seen that movie Idiocracy?
Yes.
No.
Idiocracy. You haven't? Iggy Hoods, you haven't?
No, I ain't seen it. Idiocracy?
Yeah. Idiocracy
it's
is
It's homie from, what's that white dude's name?
He's white, definitely. I don't know. He's definitely white. Like, you're in
move
the right
on,
area.
Move on.
Well, it's the most intelligent movie you could ever see because it's showing you that as technology is enhancing, we are
dumbing ourselves.
Decreasing. We are decreasing in intelligence.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I don't even have to type a W. I can say call wife and Siri gonna say bloom. Like, so it's dumbing us down.
Yep.
Now, we continue to do this. So in a part in the movie, they were watering plants. And they was like, so what do you water plants? They're like, you gotta water it with Gatorade. And they're like, why do you water it with Gatorade?
I remember that.
And then they're like, because it has what plants crave. They were so dumb that
Electrolytes.
Yeah. They were actually promoting our ad as opposed to just using basic common knowledge. Right. The guy's name that was the president was like Julio Chavez, and he was black. She was like, but that's how dumb society is going to be.
And that's where we're going now with like the Donald Trump's running for president.
Yo, I'm going to be honest with you.
Don't tell me you like that.
I'm going to be honest.
You're going to hurt my feelings right now.
No, I do not like Trump. But I do like Trump's politics.
No, I like that he's involved in politics.
The thing about it is this, 100%. When Clinton was in office, Little Rock, Arkansas got worse.
Yep.
Barack is now in office.
They were banging in Arkansas.
They were banging hard.
Hardcore.
That whole 8 years, it was like they increased more in violence and murders. Obama, I remember Chi-Town being safe.
Yep.
I remember I went through...
It got worse.
Capitee Green.
You're absolutely right.
Capitee Green at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they told me Sammy's Chicken was the best chicken in whole Chicago. And it's open 24 hours, but it got bulletproof glass. I said, fuck it. I'm going. And the OGs came out and said, Nori's here. The OGs surrounded me, protected me. With my brother, who don't look like me, he looked straight up Latino.
Right.
He looked like white Latino. He looked like he from Spain.
Right.
Right? And the OGs came out and they protected me, right? They was like, no, you in the hood, we good. Then the police
Are these Latinos OGs or
no,
black
OGs?
No,
this is blacks. Okay. This is black OGs at the time. But the Latinos, when I go to my brother, he got the Latin Cobras. They don't only have Latin Kings out there. They got Latin Cobras.
Yeah, they got everything.
Latin Venoms.
Folks.
Latin motherfucking
disciples,
eyebrows.
Disciples.
They got everything, right?
Latin eyebrows.
Every type of gang. And now, see what happened with Chicago is they removed all the OGs. So now in New York, they got a law. Can you turn it down a little bit? Because it's super loud in my head.
My bad.
But now in New York, they got a law that says if you're 40 and over and you got some type of status, they can't arrest you. Because they want the OGs to control the streets. You understand?
Makes sense.
Like, I remember in Puerto Rico, every fucking, you know, artist I met, they had a godfather.
Right.
I used to think that shit was kind of corny. I was like, yo, he's got a godfather. What the fuck is that? Padrino. But then I realized you need somebody in control.
It's like the mob.
Of these certain, because you got to look at the results of Chicago. Chicago actually got worse since President Obama has been in office. That's the one critique.
When the youngins run the streets get crazy.
You got to have the OGs out there.
Because they don't got.
You know, that's what your album was great. It was a great representation of mixing the OGs. But guess what? That's the only example we have. We don't really have that on the streets.
It's true. You're absolutely correct, man.
So I looked at that, and if I have, like, you know, because I've, you know, I didn't vote for Obama because I can't, but everybody I did, you know, I had them go out for Obama.
So let me ask you a question. Who would you, okay.
I would vote for Kanye West in a heartbeat.
No, well, Kanye's trying to go for the next cycle.
Yeah, but I'm that's where I'm at.
No, but let's think about it. You know about Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders.
He's the Democratic. He's like a socialist. He's trying to.
Yeah, he's the guy that he let Black Lives Matter shut him down.
Yeah, but he, you know, he marched with Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
and then Black Lives shut him down, but he wasn't like they shouldn't have shut him down.
Yeah, so. I ain't figured dealing him though. But I ain't feeling nobody in this election right.
I like Bernie Sanders. I don't like Hillary Clinton.
Weed,
I do not
shit,
like Hillary
like,
Clinton.
Like she reminds me of Nancy Reagan when she. Like, you can't
what?
Make
no
weed.
Drugs, right?
Yeah, you can't make weed on the same level with cocaine.
They need to kill the weed shit.
Listen, man, it's been times I've been in my house and I caught every weed man that I knew alive. I ain't never say I'm gonna suck some dick if these niggas don't come through. You can't compare weed to cocaine to crack. I might be moody, I might be whatever, but I ain't gonna do something out of it. So you can't put weed.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, what Denver's economy did for weed, you know what I'm saying, is phenomenal.
They need to
Yeah, but hold on.
Weed.
What is she saying about weed? She's trying to get
She's
rid of that
She's saying all
shit?
Drugs is drugs.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
They,
at the end of the
they
day,
they need
that's
to look at
right.
weed the way they look
I can smoke 11 blunts.
Alcohol.
If you take 11 aspirins, nigga, that would be your last headache, nigga. But you can smoke 11 blunts.
Yo, would you
right now?
Would you give him 11 aspirins right now just to see what happens?
I don't know. We can check it out. First body.
Check
on,
it out, man.
First body on podcast.
All right, so okay, so Hillary is actually you like it? No, you don't like.
I
Hillary.
Don't like it because of the drug.
You don't
policies.
Like. You don't like Bernie Sanders. What do you think about Ben Carson?
I'm not figure dealing him. He's
I hate Ben Carson.
He's a house nigga. He's Uncle Tom. I'm a nigga, so I can say it. I can say it.
Yeah, you can
it
say that.
It might not be
here.
Proper. Not be proper for you to say it or you to say it, but
nah,
I'm,
I cannot
I'm,
say
I'm
that.
A nigga. I'm a nigga, and he's a house nigga. He's
I'm
Uncle
a spigger.
Tom. Yeah, there you go. Which is the same right. But I can't relate to neurosurgeons. I don't have nothing in common with him.
Yeah.
Other than my skin is black. I don't have nothing in common with a Republican. A Republican is for the people of the rich. I don't care how much money I've ever made in life. I don't care how much money I'm set out to make in life.
So you'll never go on the Republican.
I identify with the poor.
You'll never go on the Republican.
I wouldn't be a Democrat neither. I'd definitely be an independent.
Independent. What about Marco Rubio?
Marco Rubio,
the Cuban,
man, is the
Cuban
guy.
B.
He's whiter than all of us.
No, he's
together.
Foul. He's mad foul.
He still don't know politics. Right? I said I'm not going to discuss politics. But yeah, he's a piece of shit as well.
He's foul.
Jeb Bush, I kind of like his
you know,
politics.
I like Jeb Bush.
I like his I politics, know. But guess what? I like the Bush politics.
No, I don't like his politics.
Office.
I like him.
I liked his pop's politics.
I think he's cool.
Before he got in office, and I've been fooled before. So it's like, fool me once, fool me twice. Listen, I would have been better off with Bush if niggas said, yo, I'm going to Iraq because the niggas trying to kill my pops.
And that would have been gangster.
I would have said, I'm fucking with you. But the nigga lied about the weapons of mass destruction.
Of course, of course.
And in order for him to get that sanction, they had to go in front of the UN. So it wasn't like he just lied to our people.
No, he lied for the world.
And then
for the world.
And then this is the reason why people, when I travel these countries and I go to Croatia and I go to Russia and I go to fucking Thailand.
They hated us in Russia,
and
by
Taiwan,
the way.
They look at us like scumbags. Like, and the reason why, if we're racial to each other, we're idiots.
Yeah.
Because they all look at us like American scum.
Yeah, they don't care.
I remember when Obama first got elected. I think we was in London. We was in like some England or United Kingdom shit. All the white people came up to us, Obama! Obama! We was like, damn, this is racist. But you know, we taking it. We taking it. We black and we from America. We get it, right? 2 years later, that love was over. That love was over because he presented to them the same politics that every other politician did. The two critiques I would ever have to critique about Obama is, one, he should have did black reparations. I know this is deep, but fuck
that. Nah, go ahead.
He should have got black reparations, or he should have paid attention to the black issue. There's no way murders for the police should have went up during your trial.
But let me ask you a question. Do you really think the first black president could really go in deep on black issues? Like, I feel like
it's not that. It's that race issues have gotten worse.
Right, but at the end of the day, there's a black president, but it doesn't matter if the Congress is white.
Nah, the thing about it is, you gotta be renegade. George Bush had no support.
Right, he went in. He
from
fucking
that
attacked
Iraq
countries. He
so
don't give 2.5
fucks. I'm telling Obama and Obama and his administration that black people are under attack. We are. Every 4 days, there's a kid that's dead from police killing that is unarmed. There is no way. Like, if the guy is armed, listen.
And maybe even more because the president...
telling me to chill. Nah, it's Illuminati, my mic
maybe,
just dropped.
Maybe even more because the president is black. Real talk.
This is what I'm saying.
Real talk.
So, at the end of the day, Obama did one of the most remarkable things. He just visited a federal jail.
I thought that was amazing with Vice.
On Vice.
Fucking dope.
That was fucking awesome.
First time ever.
Ever. So he understands the system is broke. But it's not just the jail system that's broke.
It's the entire system.
It's the entire system that's broke. You understand what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, why are we just now squashing beef with Cuba? Come on. Like, I know you guys are Cuban, so this guy hit your heart a little bit. But, my nigga, from the first year you should have been in office, you should have said, yo.
Nah, but
Cuba and them niggas are right.
But let's be 100% here, man.
Yeah, but listen.
He can't come in the game.
I know where you're going.
And change
I know
old
you're going.
Politics.
That's the problem. He thinks he can. The thing about it is, we ain't going to never have another black nigga up there. Right? Listen.
Hey, maybe. You might
this
be
is,
right.
This is the point. This is the point.
Carson,
this is the point. Listen,
in.
Right? Tomorrow, right? If MTV calls me, right, and says, nigga, we want you to
they,
run.
They're not going
to
say.
All right, they ain't going to say nigga. All right, cool. But if they say slime, right? Well, I would accept that, right? Slime, we want you to run our networks, right? Immediately, I'm going to say, these niggas ain't never going to hire another nigga like me, right? So immediately.
So you going in, bam, bam, bam.
I'm going in for my people. I'm going to secure the win for my people. I'm going to say, yo, look, nigga, fuck revolt. You know what I'm saying? Look, nigga, coming home was Vietnam, that shit's going to be on MTV.
Right.
And then I'm going to do a lot of other shit. See, the thing is, he knows that the drug crimes are a problem, but still he don't want to be known as the president that legalized weed.
Right.
That, to me, is a contradiction. Because if you know that these people you just interviewed in jail got 15 years for allegedly...
He should have pardoned all those motherfuckers.
Nah,
like
I think
that.
He is. I think he is. Like, word, I think he is, man. But that's my one critique. It's like, yo, you should have legalized marijuana. Like, I never knew nobody that killed a kid on marijuana. I never knew nobody that robbed people on marijuana. I never knew nobody that tried to harm people on marijuana. And if they did, trust me, that wasn't marijuana. They actually mixed it with alcohol.
Or coke.
Or dust.
Or dust.
They were doing dirties.
Man, dirties is big out here. But that's like the only place in the country.
But this is the thing. I understand what you're saying about him.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that regardless... Even if he went in hard, he would have been resisted at Congress. And he's resisted at Congress now. But they would have blocked him no matter what.
Yo, you know Obamacare has got 4 months once he get out of office.
They taking that shit from that nigga. But haven't you noticed something? I think that, and this is what I really think. I think that Obama tried to be undercover. He tried to do
Let me tell you something.
And then now he's a, you know, at the end of the presidency, you dealt with record labels, right?
Let me break it down for you. You dealt with record labels, right? So if you have, let's say you have a 3-album deal with a record label, right?
Right.
That third album, the motherfuckers are going to be pieces of shit to you. Because you know why? They're going to say, you know what? He might not re-up with us. We just made him the biggest star in the Northwest. So he might leave Plug-In Records for Red Cup Records. So what they do is they say, I'm not going to really campaign for him like I did on the first 2 albums. We want to see if he's loyal, or we want to see if he's going to renegotiate.
Right.
But you know what the artist does? The artist says, I'm going to do everything I got. You see Ross right now? This is his Laugh Def Jam album.
Going in.
He's going in. Because you know why? He wants them to either renegotiate his contract or say, because they got to still let him go. And that's what Obama should do. He should say, fuck it. I'm a part of the 1,500 inmates of the whole jail.
Well, he is going in now.
And then I'm legalizing weed throughout the whole...
I think he's going in right now.
And then drop the mic when he's done.
And...
All right, thanks.
And make it a mandatory minimum, the same way they made a mandatory minimum for drugs, make it a mandatory minimum that if a police officer shoots anybody unarmed, not black youth, not just Latino youth... And if a police officer shoot anybody unarmed, he should have a mandatory minimum of 25 years to life. The system will change. Trust me. Trust me.
I hear that.
And we got to go to the break?
No, we got to go to a break. But let's. I just want to say, as a lame duck president, because you know that when they're in the
We can film another episode. It's okay. I'm in the
mood. No, we're here. We're going to do this. We're going to do a long one.
That's okay. Pause.
No homo.
Okay, pause. I miss being here.
And this is the prelude to Drink Champs Radio, Militainment Crazy Raw Radio. We coming back. But I'm telling you right now.
I'm like when we talk of politics. And we drunk politics. That's another show. I love politics. Drunk
politics. You know what? I'm not even going to say what I was going to say. We're going to come back to it. We're going to come back to it. We're going back in the mix. OG Radio, DJ EFN, N-O-R-E. We got fucking Icky Hood in the back dungeon. And DJ Candace on 1 and 2s. It's Dash Radio, Native Rhymes. Let's go. 90shiphop.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're back to Drink Champs Radio with rapper N-O-R-E and DJ EFN.
We're back, OG Radio.
That's what that radio is, right? The bitches, right?
90hiphop.com. Okay, no, it's all good, man. It's DJ EFN on the 1s and 2s.
I just wanted to make sure I still had my hip-hop. I wanted to make sure my hip-hop pass was still good. That's J. Rude of Damager. That's old school.
I'm feeling nostalgic right now. I feel like we in crazy militant. We're having fun, man.
I love the setup. I love what you guys are doing. You know, I've always been a fan and always big you guys up behind your back. But it's time I big you up in front of your back.
Thank you, man.
And yo, Carlito left?
No, we're here.
All right. I just wanted to pour another drink, unless you could help me out.
I got no more drink left.
That's because you drink the hardest shit on the planet, Bacardi. Yo, somebody drank your Bacardi. You know you left Bacardi there?
Where?
I think it was my wife's mom's at my house. You left a big bottle of Bacardi there.
Right.
And I think my wife's mom's drinking. But they're Cuban, B. She replaced it with Havana Club.
Havana Club's from Cuba. Directly from Cuba. It in the old Bacardi factory.
That's crazy. Excuse me. That's crazy. I've never drank that. No, I have. I have drank the Havana Club.
I think you've
shots. Club. Yeah, I've drank that in a shot format. You know what I mean? It's pretty dope. Pretty dope.
All right, so let's talk about some things.
Come on, I want to talk about what you want to talk about now.
We went politics, but
no more politics.
Get away from that. We can get away from that.
The ignorant fans, that's Nori fans, was like, who is that guy? Like, I was too smart. My fans are dumb people, all right?
Hey, I have not said that. That is not true.
I have annoying, dumb fans.
That is not true.
I mean, like, my core.
Your core is not dumb either, bro. That is not true. I do not believe that at all.
Nah, I do. I told Pharrell the other day, this shit was funny as shit. I had met Trey Songz. I had met Trey Songz in the past. In the past. Sorry. But I met him in the past, but... First thing Trey Songz said to me, he was like, "Yo, I used to sell crack to CNN." And I was like honored, but
he
like
said
offended.
He sold crack to you guys?
Yeah. Trey Songz ain't no sucker, man.
He sold crack to you guys?
He said sold crack to CNN, like, you know.
Like he's listening to CNN selling crack.
Right. So I didn't know if he meant the war report.
I thought he sold it to CNN, literally.
Oh, no, no.
I was like, really?
Well, now I understand what you're saying. I'm sorry.
Okay.
But, yeah, so immediately I told, you know, Trey, I was like, yo, you know, I don't want to do none of that. I don't want to talk about none of that. I got a problem. And Trey said, what's your problem? I said, I got a big problem. He said, so what's the problem, Norm? You the big homie. What's up? I said, my niggas, I have nigger fan base. I have dudes. It hurts me that I could walk into a club in LA and all the dudes come and say, what's up, Nori? And it's like, I get that I've laid down a gangster format, but I'll be like, why the chick ain't come say hi? And I'm married, so, you know, I don't mean anything by that. But
that wasn't always true, man. That's not fair to your career,
but you know what? It isn't, but that's what has stuck with me longer. Is I actually never made chicks for the records. I mean, I never made records for the chicks. You know what I'm saying?
And but chicks are never loyal for the long duration.
Yeah, but I need the unloyal shit for right now.
That's new shit.
I have sausage parties, man. And it's like, it's horrible,
Boris,
man.
Boris be there. He's there.
And then, so I told Pharrell that, right? And Pharrell was like, you got to be appreciative of the fans. And I said, fuck them, they're annoying.
Wow, Doña, what's wrong
like,
with you,
man? Because you got to realize, I don't mean it how it sounds. I mean it is like, I have to expand music-wise. Like, I have to. Like, it makes no sense for me to make a record about me shooting anybody. Because I think people pretty much know those days are over for me. Right. Not saying I don't still get angry or I'm a sucker or anything like that, but the furthest things that's from me. I'm a happily married guy.
Right.
I don't want to rap from a married perspective because then I get into Pastor Mace-ish. I don't want to do that. But I have to do something else for my female audience or for the female audience.
Right.
And I have to start making some records that's dedicated to them.
So how do you do that?
I don't know. That's why I asked Trey Songz.
Trey Songz, did he give you any advice?
Up my pussy population. He said, yo, he gave me the number. I haven't found
a number to what? Number to 1-800?
Nah, I need a hook, population? Nigga. Maybe that's my first start. I need a hook from him talking about eating pussy or something. Because
I thought he gave you a number to a guru.
The love guru of fans. Yeah, nah, he didn't do that. But,
you do a record with him, you're going to...
Crazy because this is something I was telling Pharrell. Like, before Happy came out, I had this shit. Lord, the bystanders see me, Lord. And this motherfucker, he's talking about AKs on the record. I knew they wasn't going to clear the record. But I told him in the studio, I was like, yo, it makes no sense for me and you to do hood records anymore. Nobody believes either one of us. Like, they definitely don't believe you, but they for sure they don't believe me because I'm not hood. No, I'm hood. The hoodest thing about me is me. So I wanted to do female records with them from the beginning, and I played them the primo shit. I'm not the primo shit, excuse me, the Lars Professor shit. I played them the Pete Rock shit. And he was like, I'm not going to have the softest shit on the album, but you're the softest guy on the album. Why wouldn't you want to take that honor? But that was me. I can't blame him. And then Happy came out. And I knew they weren't going to clear Happy at the same time when he's saying, the boss scanner screaming, Lord. The AK screaming, Lord. So the people that own Happy Feet ain't going to let you be on a record from a dude, Noriega. And they specifically picked me out. I told him T.I. I said, what the fuck? You just did a record with T.I. He got arrested with five guns. I talk about five guns, but I ain't
getting
arrested.
Talking about that on that record with T.I.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just, it's real shit. I knew who Pharrell was before Pharrell, every single encounter that I've ever had with him. I knew who he was before he knew who he was. I knew they wasn't going to clear that record.
Expand on that. What does that mean?
Like, I knew Happy was coming before I heard Happy.
When you first ever met him?
No, I knew that when we was making Lord.
Oh, okay.
I knew that he was making music for the world. Like, when he did Super Thug, it was for the world when I was thinking for the hood.
Right, right, right. Which was a different record at that time for hip-hop.
Right, but now, I don't think he realized how much I expanded and how much I liked the other world. Like, one night, me and Alchemist hanging out in L.A., and he's like, yo, it's a Kid Cudi party. I'm like, Kid Cudi's my man. And Alchemist just looks at me like, you don't look like the type of person that would hang around Kid Cudi. I came out, Kid Cudi put me on stage, and that's all derived from Pharrell's weird world,
right,
that he was in. And I became a captain in that Pharrell, in that world, by association.
Being eccentric.
I don't know what that word means. What does that mean?
It's eccentric. Like just being like around? Different. Okay, about yeah. Different things.
Well, the fact is, Pharrell is a god in
like
that
usually
world.
Super billionaires are eccentric.
Okay. Well, Pharrell is a god in that world. A world that would essentially probably not let me in.
Right.
But they let me in because I brung Pharrell in. So I always
by nature,
wanted to
you deserve to be
by
in
nature.
World.
Like, yeah. You know, Alchemist was like, damn, you're an honorary hipster.
Yeah.
And I at real first talk. I was like, I feel like you just spit on my shoes. But then I realized he wasn't saying nothing wrong to me. He was saying, you're accepting it. This is why Mastercraft, we recorded in your studio. Yep. I went all over the world
Jimmy Kimmel went all
over the world with Mastercraft because if it wasn't for Pharrell essentially putting me in that world, they wouldn't even know that I can rhyme like that.
Right.
Like, I mean, I made that record in like 2 minutes. I still didn't know the rhymes when I was in Jimmy Kimmel because I had just recently just wrote shit.
You were social media sensation on your phone.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I was trying. Yeah, exactly. So it just lets you know that the world is changing, and sometimes I have the foresight to see that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm fucking on it. But
Not to cut you off.
Uh-huh.
Why haven't we heard a Diplo Nori record?
I've never met Diplo.
Yo, Diplo.
We need to make that happen.
I think I'm gonna try and make that happen.
That'd be awesome, man. Because I'm doing one last Nori album. I don't know if it's
Why is it the last one? Why is it?
Because I'm tired of the rap. I'm tired of hip hop.
But what does that mean? You do one more album, then what does that mean?
And then I want to be executive. If I'm going to continue with hip hop, I'm going to be executive, or I'm going to be...
You'll just be featured on shit.
I'll be featured on shit. You know what I'm saying? Probably. I mean, we want to do Nori verse for Capone first, right?
Nori verse Capone.
Which is going to be an Outkast style album,
uh-huh.
Meaning he has
double
five
disc.
Songs. I have five songs. It's one album.
Oh, one album. Okay.
I'm not on his songs. He's not on my songs.
Okay.
I want to do one last War Report, and then I want to do Melvin Flint too, and give the peace sign and break out. Hey, yo, man.
Boris.
You got to stop calling Honduras right now.
Yo, Peruvian Boris. We hear you.
Carlito, tell him to get cigarettes.
Well, go outside or something, brother.
And swishes. He left? All right, that's cool.
Damn, I can't have fun. Yo, shut it off. This fucking guy.
Can you go to the store and get cigarettes and swishes, though, Boris?
And get a wine bottle.
Another wine?
Yeah.
I'm in. I think we got two. But what were we talking about? I'm sorry. I was into that.
We were saying about what does it mean to do no more albums?
You know what it is, E? Let me just tell you something. It comes a time in this record business where the people invested into you so much that they don't want to invest no more. What they want... Or not even that. It's because even these young guys, they're not invested into them at first.
Right.
They're invested into them after they become popping. Travis Scott, beautiful, wonderful example. He's a phenomenal artist. He starts popping. A record label comes and invests. Migos, whatever. You name them, they come and invest.
Right.
But it comes a time where It's the Busta Rhymes and it's the NREs and it's the Fat Joes that you actually gotta wear a $100,000 watch. And to get these record label dudes still focused on that you still make money. Because the most money I've ever made is the most money they ever spent on marketing.
Right, right.
So if they don't spend makes money sense. On marketing, you're actually, the crazy shit is I can't be independent no more. I hate it. The reason why I hate it is I go everywhere around the country. I promote. I give phenomenal interviews. And then I still go to the airport and the guy will be like, "Where you dropping some?" And this shit is heartbreaking to me. Because here I am on your number one station. Here I am on your fucking number one podcast in your town. I'm in your number one fucking DJ's booth
all
in your
rounds.
Town.
You're doing all
I'm
the
doing
rounds.
Everything, but that marketing dollars isn't being spent when I'm not on there. So when they're watching BET, like people, a lot of people don't understand that when you're watching MTV in Miami and you see, you know, Broward cars come on, that's the Broward people paying
right.
for those
that's
commercials.
Advertising locally.
So this is what you're seeing. When you don't see that for a major artist, it's because those marketing dollars haven't been spent. And you technically can't win.
But do you feel we'll ever go back to those days where those major marketing dollars?
I just
will be
don't
spent?
Think I'm. I just think I'm not. When it goes back to that, when the major marketing, Tech N9ne does a wonderful job, but he built up his clientele, and Tech N9ne works a lot harder than everybody else.
Super hard.
Super harder than everybody. So he had that in his mind. It's hard for me to go back. All right.
So you're just saying that you're not. The way that you want to be in the game right now is
I hate it.
You're not trying to be a part of that rat race.
Mm-mm.
You want to go behind the scenes.
I'm blessed that I can, you know, I can still make money.
Right.
I'm blessed in that area. I'm blessed that this month I got 9 shows. I usually have like 4, maybe 3. Got 9. God is like, "Yo, look, nigga, don't sign that TV deal."
Right.
Nigga gave me 9 shows. God is like, "Nigga, hold out for the right one," which is dope. But I'm blessed, right? That's why I want to form a hip-hop union. A hip-hop
union. I
think
that would be amazing.
You know what I'm saying? Because and switches. Because here's how I look at it, right? And I'm sorry to get deep again. But Sean Price, man, rest in peace. God bless. But I feel like anybody who's keeping Sean Price deaf a secret is horrible.
Wait, somebody did that, you're saying?
Something happened, man. He didn't just die.
Oh, you mean how he died?
How he died? I think that I could save the next person. You know what I'm saying? What's up, Boris? Come on. What you need? What you need?
The key.
The key, okay. So what am I saying, E, is... If you know what Sean Price died of, look, what if Sean Price died of cigarettes?
I think he died of sleep apnea.
But we need to know that.
Which is what Eddie could has for sure.
We need to know that. No, that's the thing.
No, it's crazy. Nobody said why.
Nobody said it. Nobody said nothing. I
think he died.
Tragedy called me, collected money.
Personally.
You know, collected money, and I asked. You know, I ain't have a relationship with Sean Price's wife, so I feel out of place. Calling Sean Price wife, but I know Sadat X too. I know Tragedy did. I know Royal Flush did. And when you call these brothers and you say, "Yo, what did he die from?" None of these brothers have an answer for you.
He died. He did die in his sleep, which is what.
That's what
know.
I heard, but I heard other stories. So what I'm saying
besides
is,
his sleep, what did you hear?
I just heard he just died. Like I didn't hear him heavy sleeping. So. What I'm saying is we need to know that information for us to be better. You understand what I'm saying? Because if he died from cigarettes, I'm not sending Boris to go get me a fucking pack of cigarettes right now. If he died from alcohol poisoning, I'm going to stop fucking drinking. But the same way people die from scissor, and I judge people based upon that because scissor supposedly took screw. It supposedly took Pimp C, people that I personally knew.
Yeah.
So I personally have a vengeance against
But let's be fair.
Scissor. I gotta be fair.
Let's be fair. You do know that cigarettes are bad, period.
But I need to know that's where he died from. This is what I'm saying. I do know cigarettes is bad. I do know fucking getting the head on the fucking corner is bad.
You know, drinking.
You know what I'm saying?
Drink champs in the long run in the might long not run, be the best.
It's not the best. But this is here's what I'm saying. It's not about saving Sean Price's life. No more. Sean Price has passed on. He has, you know, gone to better pastures.
It's learning from our own lessons.
We got to learn from our lessons.
Our own lessons.
Like, I had to learn what Pun died from.
Right.
It was beneficial to me. So when I hit that 300-pound area, I said, no, listen, Nori, I got to, you know, start going. I'm gaining weight right now because I'm really, you know, doing this fucking food show. The minute I come back from Philadelphia, I'm coming right back in the gym. Right. It's something that I got to know. But we need to share this information. If it's something crazy, I understand why they didn't share it, but it's something because this information isn't Googleable.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Everybody respects the family, which we're supposed to do, but at the same time, if it can save the next man's to the next man's to the next man's life, this information should be out there. You know what I'm saying? And this is why I want to form a rap union. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you think about it, the only sports union that don't have a union is boxing, which is very similar to hip-hop because everybody in hip-hop has a crew, just like boxers have a crew.
Yeah.
But you could only get in that vocal booth by yourself.
Right.
You could only spit by yourself the same way a boxer is. And we're the only union. Right now, E., you've dedicated 22 years of hip hop, right? I'm just giving you an example. I don't know. You probably dedicated more or less. What does it matter?
Probably 25.
Let's say 25. Okay, yeah. We'll say 25. Let's say, God forbid, I'm knock on wood. Let's say, just God forbid, you can't get money no more. There should be a union that comes in and says, "E, you don't have to no more. Your 25 years of dedication should be worked out."
Well, to your point, this is exactly what you're talking about. Right now, before I leave to the Vietnam trip,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna get a life insurance policy,
right,
to make sure that my mom is a beneficiary in something in case something happens to me.
And that's smart. But what I'm saying is, your dedication to hip hop, that should have already been in place,
right? KRS-One has been trying to do that.
Well, KRS-One need to holler at me because
he has been. He's advocated for that for years.
Well, that was the Temple of Hip Hop stuff he was on, right?
Yeah, he was advocating for that. He said that there's no reason that the pioneers should be broke and that this, that, and the other.
Yeah,
and
I agree with that.
Everybody should be getting pensions in a sense.
Yeah, that's what I. That's what I agree with.
In his business,
I believe that. I believe that too. There's no reason why. I think, in terms of the pioneers, that these guys that created this movement that we're all making money off of, that they be dirt broke in the
like
fucking street.
The thing about the thing about the thing about why I want to learn why Sean Price, or what he died from, is because what if this was something that we could prevent it?
Yeah.
All right, think about it. Jay-Z, I think he dedicated $10,000, right? Of
Wait, I don't mean to cut you off.
Somebody sleeping?
Fucking weird thoughts is snoring.
That's hard.
Get the fuck out of here.
That's hard.
Math.
Is they trying to come take Eddie's spot?
Yo, the snoring album is happening.
But my thing is this, right? And I spoke to David Bannon about this unit. He thought it was brilliant. He thought we should go to everybody for one time. It'd be a lifetime. Whatever. So we'll go to Hove and say it'll take $100,000. Obviously, I don't want the $100,000.
Sorry, mute Weird Thoughts' mic, please.
Yeah, I don't want the $100,000, so it wouldn't go on my account. But I wanted to set up an account where everybody could watch it. So this way, Rockwilder fucking falls down performing in Amsterdam, and he falls down and breaks his leg. This way, this hip hop unit comes and says, "Yo, okay, you're insured." You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't have to depend on the Amsterdam government. And we make enough money that if everybody gave 2% of their purse, and I'm talking 2%, I'm not talking managers, you know, taking 10 and 20%. I ain't talking that. And road managers taking their 12%. I'm talking 2% of what you make, or give a lifetime, give $100,000. But this way, we put it in the bank, we let it grow. If Slick Rick gets deported, he has a legal defense now.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And everybody's going to say, yeah. But look at Bobby Shmurda, my dude. Now, if probably we would have had the $2 million, I would have probably not suggested. But we would have said, hey, let's get close to that $2 million. Let's get his legal defense strong. Because he deserves a fair try. He deserves a fair shot. Like, and that's what hip-hop, we have to give back.
But it would have to be a union that people are members of. It couldn't be just random people. Like, it couldn't be Slim Jesus all of a sudden, without being a part of this.
At the end of the day, I feel like it should be OG status. Like, if you're, like...
If you put in the time.
If you put in the time, it should automatically be there.
Right.
Like, Kool Herc, it was crazy. It was so heartbreaking when I found out Kool Herc got sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was talking
that's
about.
That's where the KS1 shit came
and
from.
And Kool Herc hit me, and he didn't ask for no handout. He asked for nothing. He just hit me. But I had read the tabloids. I wasn't going to tell him, you know, whatever. But I thought about that. I said, damn, Kool Herc is proud. He didn't ask me for shit. But he did say, yo, y'all, I'm going to start trying to do some shows overseas. And I was saying to myself, He's actually so hip hop that he couldn't even come to himself and say, yo, Norv, you know, I just left the hospital or whatever. He kept it 100%. Was like, yo, you know, if anything, I'm gonna start doing some shows, you know, overseas. I got it on tape, ironically, right? So I thought about that and I was like, damn, Kool Herc shouldn't have to ask nobody for shit.
Nah, he's a foundation.
Like, honestly, like, they don't get no more hip-hop than him.
Nice.
I asked him, I said, yo, you the godfather of hip-hop? Because I told him I was recording it. And he said, don't call me the godfather, because that's secondary. I'm the father. And I was like, I couldn't argue with him.
You know, part of the problem is this generation of hip-hop artists, they don't know who came before them.
See, that's the reason why you start with a Jay-Z and you start with a Nas. And that's the reason why you gotta see this Stretch and Bobbito documentary.
Can't wait.
I'm not even in it. He did use a verse
of
mine.
And you guys are a big part of their movement, though.
Yes, he did. He used a verse of mine.
Remember, I DJ with Stretch Armstrong.
Wow.
At
that party?
At Bone Come Home.
Wow.
And then I set up in Miami.
Miami. Wow. I forgot that. Well, you got to really see, because, yo, now we're smack dead in the middle of downtown L.A., so I'm tweeting all this shit. And
how'd you see it, by the way? Because
Stretch was either following me on Instagram or following me on Twitter.
Because I pre-ordered it already.
He either seen it on Instagram or followed me on Twitter and was like, yo, you're in L.A. So I was like, yeah. And he was like, yo, the show starts at 7. So when he said the show, mind you, I don't know that I'm going to see a movie. This is what really made it dope to me. So he said the show starts at 7. So I'm rushing, thinking Stretch and Bob B, I'm going to watch these niggas live play. So I walked in. It was a fucking theater. So I'm like, what the fuck is this? And he sent me a trailer. Like I stopped at the weed spot.
The trailer.
Sent me a trailer. And I was like, I still didn't get it. And I walked up. And I came through like maybe I missed like 20 minutes of the movie, but I stood there and it had to be like 20, 30 minutes. I didn't even hit Stress. I was just in there, just amazed over what I was seeing. Like he had the original footage of Nas rhyming at his show. He had the original footage of him in at a moment where Jay-Z and Big L was battling, and he had Jay-Z actually talking about it. And it was just like, wow. I missed it. And then he has so many people. He had the homeless MC. I forget his name. And it was like, yo, this is business in hip-hop, right? So what I mean in hip-hop is, it's business is, you might be a DJ. KNS might be a DJ. KNS might see the world. And you might just see Opa-locka.
Right.
Y'all just as important. If you have that following in Opa-locka and he got the following in Dubai, there's nothing in this world that makes you more important than him or him more important than you. Y'all both have the same exact job. And that's what that movie reminded me of.
Yeah, I get what you're
saying. And then when Stretch said, he said, him and Bobbito stopped doing the show because Stretch simply didn't love hip-hop no more. I was shocked because that's the moment I'm dealing with right now. You feel me?
I think we're all dealing with that.
No, but I'm dealing with it. You know what? You're always been like kind of behind the scenes. I'm dealing with it up front.
Right, right.
And I hate hip-hop. You got the two-pack? Okay. Right. Shut me up real quick. All right, cool. You look like you took a Molly. You all right?
I think he's been taking Molly's for the past week.
He got the Molly jaw.
Molly. Yo, you Molly-whopping, yo.
But that's what that fucking movie did. You, as a hip-hop, you're going to lose your fucking mind. Like, you ordered it on your computer?
Yeah, I pre-ordered it.
Oh, yo, bro, you ain't coming outside that day.
I can't wait.
Listen, because I know who you are. Like, E, I seen your record collection. Like, I look at the picture up there, and that's you, right? Up there with the record?
That's Garcia. My record's behind.
But listen, I seen you, how you cherish your record collection. I seen somebody, yes, please. I seen somebody roll, lean on your records, and you just take it so personal. Like, you come from that era. And I told them niggas, I said, how the fuck you niggas knew to film this shit?
That's crazy. That's the crazy shit.
How the fuck did they know? They got Big L rhyming, and you just looking at Big L, and you're like, wow, like this dude is an icon. They got Big Pun. They got Fat Joe describing the stories. Like, Bobbito directed the story, so I'm actually going to try to get Bobbito to direct my What movie. Because the way they put it together was...
Bobbito's fucking so talented, man.
Yo, it was so phenomenal. And the thing about it was...
I mean, listen, you said how did they know that they were supposed to film that? Listen to the music that was coming out of that time period.
Yo, but here's the thing.
Everybody was so engaged.
Yeah, but even when they were doing it, it was even before their time.
Yeah, here's the thing, KNS. Let's just be clear. I don't know how talented your ears are, or how ill you are, or how ill you are. Most people, when you in the middle of a classic moment, you don't know it till afterwards.
Like right now, we don't have a fucking camera.
Like
right.
I
think this is a classic moment.
Like I always ask.
And I always tell you we need to film every fucking thing we do.
Like I always go back to Trash, and I always want to know, Trash, did you know that the War Report was a classic? Because Capone answers it and say, yeah, I knew it was a classic. But you left halfway there in the album. Not like he left on purpose.
Right.
But he had to go to jail. So that question is always more important to Trash, because Trash had the Juice Crew experience. Right. Trash had the connects to get us there. But
so
if you ask
say?
Me why, he always answers it like in a different manner. But if you ask me, I could tell you no. I did not think the war, not while we was making it.
Right.
Because you were in it.
It was like, whatever.
Like, when a boxer's in a fight, and you don't ever see a boxer come back to the corner and say, nigga, we making a classic.
Right.
Nigga don't say that. He go back to the corner and
I can't see out of my left eye.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, am I doing good? Nah, nigga, punch with your right. So, Stretch had this Q&A. After the show, and I seen Talib Kweli jumped up first, and he did it. And Talib seen me, he says, yo, I gotta talk to you. So I thought I like said something about Talib and forgot about it. So I'm sitting there the whole time like, damn, man, I'm not gonna argue with Talib Kweli, right? So I jumped up and I asked the question, and I said, yo, Stretch, how the fuck did you guys know that you guys was in a golden era? And they answered me, we did. And I thought that was the most honest answer.
I was mad on it.
Like, and Bobbito, and then I remember somebody asking Bobbito, they said, yo, are you a fan of anything hip-hop nowadays? And Bobbito answered it the most politically correct. He was like, I don't listen to it enough to critique none of these dudes. Which is, he's basically saying in a nice way, this is a piece of shit right now. He's basically saying, And that's the thing about it. It's like, how do we... Like, I feel sorry for you if you've never been on the Stretch and Bobbito show if you was from New York.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you was from out of town, because it was crazy hearing Eminem tell the story. Like, Eminem was like, what? I didn't want success. I wanted to be played on Stretch and Bobbito show.
Yeah.
And I remember me feeling that way. I remember me feeling that was success.
I didn't know what $1 million was.
That's like getting put in the Source magazine back then. That was like
the best. Like being an unsigned hype. See, being in Carlito's way.
That's what lets me know you was ahead of your time. Because everybody is running around with these biopsy films and they're doing Def Jam. Listen, the Def Jam film ain't going to work because there's 15 different Def Jams. Mm-hmm. There's the Curtis Blow Def Jam. There's the LL Def Jam. There's the Ja Rule Def Jam. There's the Jay-Z Def Jam. There's the DMX. You can't capture all of that in one. The reason why NWA captured all of that in one is because it was Dr. Dre and Ice Cube telling the stories. Arguably the two most powerful men in Hollywood.
Right.
There's no way you can mess this story up.
Yep.
You got Dre with the bread and you got Ice Cube with the connects. There's no way you can mess this story up. They just picked up a Loud movie. Steve Rifkin, I love you. It's not going to work.
Should have been a Wu-Tang movie.
They want the Wu-Tang movie.
That's what it should be.
That's what it should be. Raekwon, be smart. Do the Purple movie and tell the Wu-Tang story, but it's yours.
I heard Premier on his show say he wanted to do a Gangstar biopic.
It's not all going to work right now.
Everybody can't have a biopic right now.
It's not all going to work right now.
No, I totally agree with that.
It's not because...
Me, as a fan, I watch all that shit. You know what I'm saying?
No, we'd all watch it.
No, but what I'm saying is, it'll be a failure if Compton did less than a Notorious Big.
Right.
Compton, and mind you, it was never called NWA. It was called Straight Outta Compton, which was, in a marketing standpoint, genius, because Compton is a city.
The whole city's going to see it.
The whole city's...
And the whole L.A. is going to back that
up even more. It's like saying Straight Outta Queens. It's like, all right, cool. Dudes from Brooklyn might not represent that, but it represents New York.
Right.
So they're going to go out and promote it. Now... I say the reason why you was ahead of your time is because you wanted to do the Source documentary.
Oh, yeah, that I was in.
See, now, you know why the Source documentary will actually work? It's because...
Damn, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's why I said you're ahead of your time. I'm on point. Because you there's 50 million artists that can tell that story.
Yeah.
And that could say their experience with the Source. And you could have the guy who's running the Source right now, Londell McMillan... And you can have the past presidents from the Source. And they will both collectively do that. And the thing about it is you can have all the artists there if you tell that story from the Source perspective.
Yeah.
Now, telling it from a Loud perspective is nobody don't really care about Loud. No disrespect to Steve Rifkin. He's a very cool guy with me. Always been cordial. But nobody wants to hear the Loud story.
Right.
It's too much.
They don't even know. Like, when it comes down to it.
And the only reason why I keep hearing about NWA is because Ice Cube and Dr. Dre is arguably two of the richest people in the world. So it's easy to sneak Ren and Yellow in there. I care about MC Ren.
Ren got downplayed too.
Care about MC Ren, but the people don't.
Right.
I care about DJ. You care about DJ Yella more than me because you're a DJ.
And I care about Ren too.
And you
I care
about
that
Ren
Arabian
too.
Prince was never in the movie. That pissed me off, man. Arabian Prince was the fifth member of NWA. He's in the cover.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't even remember that.
Arabian Prince is in the cover, the iconic NWA cover. He's the original
Straight out of Compton.
He's on the cover.
Right. You're right.
He's on the cover. He met Arabian Prince
when we did the Night shit.
Yeah.
And he's still down with Dre. I think he just took a picture with him, Snoop, and these guys.
Well, he's been doing interviews recently because people said, yo, you're not, and this is the foul part. They mentioned Lorenzo.
But not Arabian Prince.
But the only thing that I would have been good if they would have just said, had a guy on the couch and said, what up, Prince?
Yo, but
I would have been good, but that's
here's the thing I learned about Hollywood.
This guy wants to clean everything right now.
I like that. He's on the Molly.
Yeah. Molly Whoppers.
Hollywood wants to tell the closest thing to the truth as long as it's still entertaining.
Right.
Which is dope.
No, I'm not mad at that.
Because like when I look at Paid in Fall, the movie, I love it.
Right.
But every time I watch it with a dude from Harlem, I see them get...
That's not what happened.
And I can understand that. And I can respect that. Ain't no problem. 100%. It's like, all right, cool. But, like, I see so many people. But Alonzo.
Alonzo.
It's Alonzo.
Yeah.
Alonzo.
Huh? Huh?
Lorenzo was Ren.
Right, yeah, right. Alonzo, my bad.
Who are you talking about? Alonzo is funny as shit right now.
From the World Class Wrecking Crew.
He's
told
funny
you about
as
playing all that gangster shit in here.
And he said,
and he said he was for the shit they were doing.
I think he's right.
He said on Vlad TV.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I think I'm taking Dre's word.
Yo, by the way, I love all those interviews that Vlad did with all those guys.
Amazing interviews.
I think he did that before the movie, which I applaud him even more.
He did? I didn't know that.
A lot of the interviews.
Well, Vlad is from the West Coast, though.
Right, but he did a lot of those interviews knowing the movie was coming out.
And for a long, like you know, that's the one thing they're proud of. Like, he's from the Bay Area, but he's, you know, it was a whole renaissance. Like, I tell people all the time, I say, I was scared of Eazy-E when I first met him. And people be like, what? And it's like, see, music ain't like that now. If you could, when I heard Straight Outta Compton, I thought that was, they were talking about a jail. Like, I thought, because, you know, G-Rap had Rikers Island.
Right.
So I thought when they were saying Straight Outta Compton, I was like, oh, shit, I never want to go to that jail. Like, you know what I mean? But that's how descriptive they were. I was scared of Eazy-E through his lyrics. There wasn't no blogs. There wasn't no Instagram. I knew nothing about Eazy-E. I knew nothing about Dr. Dre. I just believed their vocals.
Yeah.
See, nowadays, like you said Slim Jesus. I know too much about Slim Jesus.
Right.
Like, that doesn't make me a fan. I'm not saying that his stuff isn't good, because that's not what I'm saying. I haven't heard it. I heard Joe Budden's diss it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's total. The guy already admitted he's full of shit.
Right. I heard he say, he'll tell on
fake
people
guns.
And all that. But what I'm saying is, he comes out, and I already know too much about him.
Right.
So it doesn't make me want to, you know, go out there and learn more.
I remember back in the days you was telling me that the same thing about Nipsey Hussle. You were like, I don't want to know everything about him yet.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Because I like the Nipsey Hussle. I still do. Yeah. When I like a person about him, I've never went through any girl I mess with phone. Because if you cheat on me, I want to learn it.
If you search, you're going to find it. And what's ill is that you're absolutely correct about N.W.A. And you know what's funny, man? Although I was already listening to hip-hop, N.W.A. is what made me really passionate about this music. Because I had never felt anger and I never felt scared to hear
I didn't know you could say fuck the police. I didn't know that. Like, when that record came out, you know how fucked up I was? All right, let's just calculate. What year Fuck the Police came out?
That had to be like 87. 88.
Okay.
88, maybe.
Let's just say 87 or 88.
Right.
I was born in 1977. Which means I was 10 or 11, nigga.
I was in junior high.
Do you understand how that shit processed in my brain? That you mean the police that came and searched me for no reason? The police that came and kicked my tennis ball and told me don't hang out on this corner. I could actually say fuck them and not go to jail. And these guys went to the White House after that.
Easy,
that's what people don't understand. And now all these stories about the acupuncture, when the dude Kid Frost said that, did you see that interview?
That was crazy.
That fucked me up. Kid Frost.
And you wanna believe exactly, because there's no reason for him to lie.
See, I'm not gonna lie. The way Kid Frost broke it down, I got chills in my body.
Yo, it was crazy.
Because
I need to go watch that.
No, I mean, did you watch the movie?
Yeah,
the movie is phenomenal.
Yeah.
By the way,
the movie's great.
I actually brought my son, who was getting suspended from school at the time, and
not
I just
seen?
Yeah, I just was like, fuck it, nigga. Me and you going straight out of the car. And that nigga looked at me, and it's the first time, like Nassim, my nephew, they all got bladder problems. Like right now, I got to get pissed, but. And he stood there for me for 2.5 hours. And I was just like, yo, I want you to show the hip-hop I grew up on. I listened to my son, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I walk by his room, and I listen to what he's playing.
How old is your son?
He's 14.
Okay.
But I have to listen to what he's playing, because it was crazy. I went and bought 2 pair of Jordans for him, right? Because I thought that's what he wants. And he's like, nah,
what, you want Vans or something?
He wanted the fucking Uptowns.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, see, if I'd have bought those for you, you'd have called me an old man. And I'm just like, you know, sometimes you gotta listen to the youth. That's what makes an old person old, always reminiscing on the old stories.
Right.
You gotta actually sit back and say, maybe they don't got shit, or maybe they have something. And I'm not a guy who hates on this generation. I don't understand this generation, but I don't hate it. You understand? Because I live in Miami. That's why I don't hate this generation. And you know what? When I go in mansion, which I haven't been in a long time, but when I go in Club Live, and I got 3 or 4 drinks into me, that young thug don't sound bad.
Not at all.
That fucking...
I just don't think there's a balance.
Which next time you go to Live, you better fucking holler.
We gotta celebrate. But what you said, there's no balance. But there is.
No, I think there's a misrepresentation.
J. Cole and Kendrick
has counterbalanced it completely.
See,
that's like two people out of everybody.
No, you know why?
But you're basing it
off of Drake's dominance.
Well, I don't have a problem with Drake.
I even think Drake is
I love Drake. You know
what I'm saying?
But his dominance is R&B-ish. I'm not opposed to that.
Drake is the Big Daddy Kane / Heavy D.
But now, if Meek Mill can't come back strong...
He's not. I think it's over for that one.
Listen, man. I'm going to tell y'all niggas something.
Not in the battle,
as a person from New York, I remember when Jay-Z, not to take over, he made Super Ugly. Mm-hmm. And Jay-Z called Hot 97 and apologized for Super Ugly.
About his mom didn't like the record.
Yeah, you remember that. Yeah, I mean, look at that. I already knew you was real hip-hop, but I know you're super real hip-hop for remembering that that's the reason why he called.
I remember.
The same thing that Meek kind of did with his Instagram. So if Meek... The thing about it is, you gotta stop talking money. Like, I see Rick Ross do these phenomenal interviews. Rick Ross' interview game has stepped up.
Yeah.
So he's doing these phenomenal interviews, and they're talking money. They're saying, "Yo, you know, he's still straight. That's not hip hop. Money in hip hop is breakdance, is culture, and money is like seventh,
right?
In real hip hop. So, with that being said." You can't say, oh, well, he's still getting money. No, this was a straight-up battle, one-on-one. The people look like they rode with Drake. Mm-hmm. So there's only one way to get out of this. You have to make the most phenomenal album you ever made.
Right.
Like, Ross is running around doing these interviews, and he did Angie Martinez. I watched it. He did Elliot Wilson, Rap Radar podcast. I watched it. He did Hot 97. I said The Breakfast Club already, right? Oh no, I said Angie Martinez. He did The Breakfast Club. I watched it. And the most thing that he's saying that people aren't listening is that this is when the best music comes out of you. And it's true. It's true. Like, I have never made a great deal, or I've never been up against the wall when I'm up against the... I've never performed better. Like, as a hood person...
You used to be...
I was born with diversity. Right. I was born with people saying, you'll never make it. I was born with people telling me, my first record was L.A., L.A. They're like, Shook Knight is rich. He gonna kill you. That was... I had not knew who Shook Knight was. I did L.A., L.A. Niggas in my hood was like, I'm a rich nigga. I eat with Shook Knight. Niggas rich. It's gonna get you killed. And I was like, what? I didn't know that shit. So, but my point is, you start to make the best. As an artist, I know that. But you have to balance it. Because my back was against the wall making an NRE album. I made the best phenomenal album ever.
And Melvin Flint, too.
Melvin Flint.
You had Life Crisis.
I had Life Crisis. So I still don't like that album.
I think it was one of the best albums you ever made.
Everybody says that to me, and I thank you for that. But I can still listen to Melvin Flint album to this day and hear my drunk tone and hear places where I might have should have came in and relayed my vocals. So my last album will be Melvin
Flint
too. But
you know what? You might have made that album from such a natural, emotional place that it was such, that's why it's so good.
I want to ask you a question, man, because I think all three of us are kind of in the same place as far as...
We legendary hip-hop icons.
That too, and the dissatisfaction...
I don't think all three of us are, just you are.
Nah, you are too. Listen, that's the thing about the DJ. That's the thing about hip-hop that I hate. I'm sorry to cut you off. Is a DJ is so much a part of this.
Well, no, we are, but...
Now, what happens... Let me tell you what turns people off. What happens is the DJ starts to feel like they're bigger than the artist, and the artist starts to feel like they're bigger than the DJ. And that's why I loved Eric B. and Rakim. Like, nobody really knew who Eric B. was, but his name came first.
But that's the originality of hip-hop.
Like that's Jazzy the originality the of hip-hop. Prince, you know,
DJ was always first.
The DJ was first. The DJ was the... Was the
DJ crowd controller?
Right. Remember, MC stands for microphone controller.
Yeah. Master of ceremony.
He's supposed to. But the DJ was the crowd controller. That was the dude. He was the disc jockey. He was the guy that, you know, like, that's why I appreciate people like Butch Rock. Butch Rock has never.
Shout out to Butch Rock.
Came to one of my shows and just wanted to perform for me.
He's amazing, man.
He'll come out 30 minutes. To 40 minutes before I'll come on and be sweating and be like, I got the same exact order. And I'll be like, what's the order? He like, shut the fuck up. He don't say that to me, but in his mind, he'd be like, just perform. And I'll be like, all right, me and him is Batman and Robin so much that I don't even talk to him. Like, I've performed with him with 40,000 people. And he said, shut up. Just follow what I'm doing. Because he'll come out, he'll play a reggaeton record and be like, oh, we're finished with reggaeton tonight. We can't do that. He'll play a fucking, you know, a Neptune record from that era and see how they go crazy and be like, oh, okay, we're going to do a whole Neptune set. And it makes my job easier. But now he's a real DJ. He's a vinyl DJ like EFN. EFN is a vinyl DJ. Like, he, like, that's real. The people that have that. And now Raekwon is making vinyls and Mac Miller is making vinyls. And it's like,
I got a vinyl another time, by the way.
Some people,
shameless plug.
Some people are collecting vinyls just to seem hip. They're not really playing it. But that vinyl is a representation like Prohibition. Like, when you ever heard somebody say, yo, this is brandy from Prohibition. You're like, what? How much is that? It's like $1,700. Like, what, for brandy? But it's a thing that represents something.
Right.
This is a time where alcohol was illegal, and we have a bourbon that's from a probe. That's what vinyl is.
Yeah, like we have to start. Which reminds me, next time I see you, I'm gonna have to have you sign some of my shit.
That's no problem. But we have to start. Actually, I see Elliot Wilson say it. He was like, yo, New York, we don't claim our shit. It's the same. It's not New York. That's not a New York. He's like, we don't claim Fetty Wap. We don't claim French Montana. I tell you, Elliot Wilson is absolutely wrong in that statement. Hip-hop sometimes don't claim our victories. It wasn't New York. It was hip-hop don't claim our victories. The minute fucking... Justin Bieber is hip-hop. I don't give a fuck what you're about to tell me right now. Justin Bieber came in through Usher. Usher came in through Jermaine Dupri. That's hip-hop.
Yeah, I believe that.
It's hip-hop. But the thing about it is Justin's success, and we sit back and we say, ah, oh, you know, he's white. Nah, nigga. That nigga wouldn't have been on if it might have not been for Lil Jon.
Right, right.
Helping Usher go to where he's going. And this is hard, and we got to start with... We calling that as hip hop. When you call Dip Low and I see Crazy Legs on Fox 5 today, we gotta claim all of that.
Yeah.
We gotta claim all of that, and that's why we have to have a union that caters to this, because I was mad that, like, you know, Sean Price was my man. We had just hung out with him in Miami together. Together. And it's like, I can see if it's a fucked up disease or some shit like that. God bless me for some even thinking shit like that. But I have to know, because I want to save the next life.
Right.
And I know if we had this hip-hop unit, I know Ice-T would be down with it.
Hell yeah.
You know how many times they thought Ice-T was going to be broke and... Man. You know, he made Cop Killer.
Mad respect to Ice-T.
You know what I'm saying? Ice-T did my movie and... You know, but I know him would be down. I know Hov would be down with it because he donates every time anonymously. And it's so, like, it's so obvious that it's him. But if you pull him to the side and say, Hov, man, you know, maybe Jazz would have never made a record about you. If
you would have took care of him.
When you started climbing up, he had a job. He has somewhere to lay that makes back
a lot
on.
Of, that's really, that makes a lot of fucking
You understand
sense.
What I'm saying? Because sometimes
that's
the light.
That's a great way to put that.
Man. The light, sometimes the light just hits you. It's like right now, do not diss Drake. Leave that nigga alone. The light is on that motherfucker.
Right.
Eventually the light will leave. The light was on all of us.
Right.
You couldn't diss me in 1998. Trust me. It was hard. That light was on me. But then, you know, God, you know, he moves the light around and the light will come back. But there's certain people, like, I'm fortunate, man. I'm blessed that I have a great personality and people want to invest into me other than hip-hop. But what about Sporty Thieves? Them dudes did 45 shows with me during my NORE day.
And we don't know where they're at.
Should they not be taken
Channel
care
Live.
Of?
Yeah.
Channel Live. Should they not be taken
Mad
care
Lion,
of as just as
Busy
me?
B.
Mad Lion, Busy B, Cool Herc,
Kumo D.
Shit, you know, some of these Love & Hip Hop guests, they're going to be over in a little while.
Take Groove, for instance.
Everybody, you know, man. And I just feel like as long as you put in the work, you stay true to that. And I don't even care. Like, I would want to take care of MC Hammer, man.
Hell yeah.
I would want to. Listen, man, if I had this union and MC Hammer said, yo, nigga, you know, I'm going to do Bumps in the Pump Part 2. And I'm going to go out there and, yo, I would want
to
sponsor
that. We have to be honest
that.
Here, man.
Oh, right.
MC Hammer is MC Hammer now to us. But when he first came out,
we was dancing.
He was the hope for the Bay.
Yep.
He was straight hood Bay shit.
I yep. never had a problem with MC Hammer.
And
back
if
in those
you
days.
Listen to his old that shit now, you're like, yo,
that wasn't that bad. That wasn't that bad.
Even the gospel won't pray. That shit was hot too.
And that's what I'm saying is.
Just niggas said nah.
What I'm saying is, look how backwards our business is, right? Right now, KNS, EFN, Nori, right? If we were hiring a plumber, right? You would hire the 20-year plumber. You would say to yourself, if you just bought a house, right? And you had that, your fucking drainage system was fucked up. Would you hire the plumber that just came out this year and is hot, or would you hire the 20-year plumber? The 20-year plumber. Yeah. This is the only game in hip. This is the only game hip hop.
Or you want the new nigga?
That they want the new nigga. Wine gets better over time.
Yeah.
But and I seen Tretch do an interview and he was like, I was forced to retire. This is Tretch say that.
Why would he retire?
Because DJs just can't play his records no more. I gotta take a piss, yo. Gotta take a break.
No, we actually have to sign off, man.
All right, let's sign off.
But wait,
we'll come. We'll do another one.
You have to make a promise to come back,
or we'll do another one. That's okay.
Yeah.
All right, but listen,
we need to do Dream Champs Radio. We need to do
yes. Let's do it.
Military Crazy Raw Radio.
Let's do it.
Sign off. You say goodbye to
yo.
People.
I want
to
say goodbye, man, and hang sangria, and I got a pee-pees.
And we got the
Nacho Libre.
You guys got the extra bonus. Bonus OG Radio tonight, man. It's DJ EFN, DJ Candace on 1-2s. Fucking weird thoughts. I think he just fell on his head. He fell asleep so bad. Shout out to Black Alax, a.k.a. Matt Harris on the engineer. Who? What are you talking about?
Come on, man.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, man, we out of here, man. Shit's, we, you know, Drink Champs extraordinaire. KNS, write us out, man. We out of here. Peace.
Hope you enjoyed that throwback episode. Make sure to stay tuned for Season 2 announcements coming real soon. And shout out to Revolt TV, our TV partners who are doing a lot behind the scenes to bring a fresh and new season of Drink Champs. Also, shout out to CBS who've been great partners. Shout out to Greg, Regina, Brian, Lori, Robin, and everyone that helped make Drink Champs a successful podcast that it is today. Be sure to log in to www.drinkchamps.com and follow us at Drink Champs on all socials. Check out our merch at drinkchamps.com or 8and9.com. We out of here.